Welcome to For Self-Examination. I'm your host, Dr. Christopher Taylor, and today is Monday. And that means today is all about you. No matter where you are in the world, no matter what you are going through, I want you to know that it is okay, and that you are right where you are supposed to be. Take a deep breath. Relax and let the world slip away. Give yourself permission to make today all about you and let yourself be open to new inspirations. Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome back. This is For Self-Examination, and I am your host, Dr. Christopher Taylor. And before we get started with this very special episode, this very special series that we have on grief, I just wanted to say after the last episode, if you are experiencing any grief and you feel like it's too much, please ask someone for help. We're definitely here to help, but reach out to a friend, a family member. It's okay. They're not going to judge you. It's important that you do that. And what we're about to talk about is a really heavy subject. So please, please, if it awakens any pain or suffering in you, call a friend, call us, call the helpline. Just ask for help. Someone will help. Absolutely. Also, a quick note about the quality of the interview. Obviously, Larry is amazing. So I'm not talking about that quality. I just mean to say that we did do a new form of medium for the interview, and I'm still kind of getting used to some of the bugs. It's supposed to give me a little bit more range, but I guess some of the settings weren't done properly, so you'll have some like... you'll probably have some like clicking noises on my mouse or my keyboard, so I apologize for that. There was a moment when my dogs ran in. I don't know what was going on there. So you might hear a dog or two barking in the background. I do apologize for that. Tiny dogs are the worst. But look, I just didn't want to lose it. I think it's such a great interview. So we're just going to kind of push through. I tried to edit the best I could. So, look, there's not much for me to set up here. Larry Barber is an amazing expert on grief. So I'm really just not going to talk much about the interview we're about to have because it's a phenomenal interview and it says everything you need to know. So let's get into the interview right after this. If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't keep it a secret. Share it with your friends and family. Tell everyone. Put it on Twitter. We'd love it if you give us a 5-star rating and a review. We always love feedback. And then, of course, like and subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get yours. As a reminder, Taylor Counseling Group is in the DFW area with offices from Dallas to Fort Worth. And in Waxahachie as well. We are also now in the Houston and San Antonio areas as well. So if you or somebody you know might be interested in getting some counseling, feel free to give us a call. 214-530-0021. You can send us an email, info@taylorcounselinggroup.com. And you can look us up on the web at taylorcounselinggroup.com. You can find us on Twitter as well at @TCG_Dallas. So if you need us, we're here. But if not, no worries. I just hope you enjoy the show. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Larry Barber. Larry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Chris. How are you?
I gotta say, I'm doing pretty good. March is here, I think. So I love the springtime. I think the fall is my favorite time of year, but I do like the springtime. So I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Now, you are one of our therapists at our Galleria office, right?
That is right. I've been doing this for about a year and a half.
Wow. It's already been a year and a half. Jeez, how time flies. Well, Larry is an amazing therapist at our Galleria office and an expert in grief. So I thought, who better to have on the podcast than Larry Barber? So Larry, give us a little background information about you clinically. Like, where'd you go to school? What'd you study? How'd you become an expert in grief?
Right. Well, I first started getting interested in grief after my own personal grief journey, but I did go back to school. I worked on two master's degrees, one in biblical studies and the other in counseling. And my whole philosophy, my whole goal toward that was to be doing grief and loss counseling that was kind of faith-based for the most part, although I do see clients who are not interested in really having faith-based therapy, but just grief and loss, and I'm able to do that also. But I got a degree from Abilene Christian in biblical studies, and I went to Amberton in Garland and got my master's in counseling there. I have gotten certified through the Association for Death Education and Counseling. So I am a certified thanatologist, and thanatology is the study of death, dying, and bereavement. And I've had that for about 8 years now. And that allows me to have some special knowledge involved in grief and loss. And I also studied under Dr. Alan Wolfelt at the Center for Loss and Life Transition in Fort Collins, Colorado. And he's been training grief counselors, I think, for, gosh, over about 20 to 30 years. So that's a little bit about my background.
Wow. Yeah, I think definitely expert is a duly earned title there. Tell us more about thanatology. I think when I hear thanatology, I think of like Thanos from Marvel, the Marvel movies and the Avengers.
Right.
Tell us about thanatology.
Well, thanatology is really looking at the philosophy and the psychology behind the thought of death, and how we deal with it, our reaction to it, which of course is grief, which is the natural human response to a loss taking place, and being able to figure out where there are some commonalities in people's griefs. I am a strong believer in the fact that everybody's grief is unique, because it's based around the special relationship they had with the person that they lost. And nobody else has that exact relationship. So it's a matter of being able to learn some skills and to learn about people, too, in their grief and loss. It's a constant learning experience for me, because I learn something new from every person that I do grief counseling with, because their grief is unique. It's helping them to be able to process the loss and to heal from it, and to be able to deal with any sort of grief feelings or loss feelings that may come up the rest of their lives.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, in the existential world, we view death as a permanent identity change. Right. For the individual, right? For the liver,
right?
For the client, in the sense that I am Chris with a mom, and then I become Chris with no longer having a mom, right? A deceased mom,
right.
And so that's I think a very interesting viewpoint on that, of how it really is this permanent change that might take. That it's not a one and done, right? That you don't come in, see a therapist for five sessions, and you're like, okay, I'm over it. I'm over dad's death. I'm over my brother's death, or my friend's death, or a spouse or child's death. It's just, it's a part of that lifelong journey for them.
Right. And identity is a very important part of the loss process, because we do lose with a person. We lose part of our identity. It's kind of like all the people around you are holding up a mirror to you while they are here, and it's showing you who they are. It's like you said, I'm my kid's dad. I'm my parents' son. I'm brother to my brother, or sibling to a sibling, And even in other relationships, you know, we are coworkers. We go to church together. We are community members. All of us show each other an identity by our relationship with the other person.
Mm. Yeah, fantastic. Now, if we had to put grief into some categories, what do you think would be different types of grief that people experience? What's the most common? What's the least common? What's one that people don't really think about as grief? You know, what have you seen? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, grief and loss is a theme that goes throughout our entire lives. And we grieve over things, not just people who die, but things that we lose during our life. And there are different types of grief, I guess, according to the type of loss. I mean, loss of a child, loss of a spouse, loss of a grandmother, grandfather, close relative, friend loss is one that's usually not acknowledged by culture itself. And there are a lot of losses that are sort of the losses that nobody really recognizes in our culture as being a loss, but for the person, it truly is a loss. One of them that's really sad to deal with is a parent who has a miscarriage or loses an infant early in the infancy, and it seems like our culture just does not support that type of loss as it does others, and that's referred to as a disenfranchised loss. And there are also losses where there's maybe not a body to bury for one reason or another, and it's an ambiguous loss, and so the person is left with a lot of things not completed that we expect will be completed when someone in our life dies. If a person goes missing and is never heard from again, well, that's an ambiguous loss. And then there are losses that are just complicated by the factors around the loss itself or in the person's life. When we have a difficult situation like a traumatic loss take place, then there's extra baggage for the griever to work through in order to really kind of say goodbye to the person.
Right. Wow. So that was a lot. I want to kind of unpack a little bit of it. One of the things that really stood out to me that you just said was the friend loss. And mm-hmm. as you were saying that, I was really kind of blown away by that comment, because I have never lost a close friend. I know people, obviously, that have died, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think everybody does, right?
Right.
But I have not ever experienced the death of a dear friend, right? Like, I heard a couple months ago that, like, somebody I kind of knew in high school had died, right?
Right.
And my thought was like, oh, that's unfortunate, you know. But I mean, I had like no real emotional connection to it. Right, it was just kind of like, you know, reading about somebody that had died because of a bombing in, you know, some third world country, right? Like, it's unfortunate, it's terrible, but like I don't have a real capacity for an emotional relationship with that. But I've never experienced like what my life would be like if one of my dear friends, one of my closest friends, died. I have one that's going through a divorce right now, which I think is kind of like death. But
divorce is the death of a marriage. So
right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
there's grief there too. So yeah,
absolutely. And he's having a really hard time with that. So it's interesting to have kind of a front row seat to that experience for him. I want to talk. You said society doesn't really recognize that. And I guess the thought that came into my mind was like, if a parent dies, well, you can't get a new one, right?
Right.
And like if a child dies, I mean, yeah, you can theoretically have more kids, but it doesn't replace that child.
Right, right. Absolutely.
When a friend dies, though, that was just so interesting, because I guess that is to some degree not truly replaceable. But I wonder, does society kind of view it as like, oh, well, it's just a friend, you know, you'll make more friends later.
Right. Well, it's we live in a culture that sometimes tells us when we have losses that we just need to replace them. It's kind of like when you're a child and one of your first losses in your life is a pet. Well, what do mom and dad want to do? They want to go out and buy you a new one, and say it's a hamster, and you're sitting there going, well, I don't want another hamster. I want Rusty the hamster back because he was very special to me. I had a special relationship. Now, a child wouldn't think in those terms, but they're feeling that. And a lot of times parents will send the message that things can just be replaced. And I think our culture sometimes does that with things like friends, with things like pets. But, you know, sometimes a friend is even closer than some of your family members and special to you in ways that your family members maybe are not. And it's like you just said, it's not a matter of replacing anyone who dies in our lives, because no one can replace that person because they're unique. And they served special purposes to us. And the big thing that I have clients go through with any type of loss, but with a friend loss, I would sit there and ask them to come up with a list of the things and roles and tasks that that person provided for you during their lifetime here. And then we read over those, and we grieve, or we process each one of those losses in the session, so they can say goodbye to the person a little bit at a time, because that's going to happen anyway. When we lose the person, we don't just lose the person, we lose everything that meant to us, which is many different things.
I like that. So it's not, it's kind of like trying to eat an elephant, right? We have to do it one bite at a time. So you're saying,
right.
You know, talk to people, process it, do it slowly. There's no rush. Let's just say goodbye slowly one day at a time.
Right. And with every death, there are losses that are recognized later when the person mm-hmm. passes away. And of course we refer to those as secondary losses, and those have to be considered too in the whole process of going through the grief, you know, taking care of your emotional wounds that have taken place, and allowing yourself some time and space to heal.
Right. That is important. Wow, that's fascinating. So can you give us, the other thing you said that was very interesting to me was the concept of a missing body, right? That there's not a body. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people like to be cremated, and a lot of people, you know, prefer the burial with a lot of pomp, and others don't want anything. Mm-hmm. And what are some, I mean, obviously outside of war, because I imagine, you know, Vietnam, World War II, I'm sure there was a lot of death there where, you know, bodies couldn't be recovered. But outside of that experience, what are some other examples of loss without a body, where you wouldn't typically, where somebody would have this experience to have to go through grief, but not have that physical body present?
Yeah. Well, this happens all the time. You hear stories of drownings taking place, either in lakes or even out in the ocean. They're never able to retrieve a body. If a plane goes down in the mountains, and they can't really find a body. They just find parts of people, and that leaves, yeah. It's we don't even like to think about it when it hasn't happened, but think about what the person whose loved one has gone through that is thinking. And one of the things that people always review, if there's a sudden death like that, and there was some time before the actual crash or death took place, the people who are left behind, the bereaved, are sitting there thinking, I wonder what their experience was like. I wonder what they were thinking. And sometimes they can really torture themselves with thinking how horrible it might have been. You know, it, and that just really complicates their grief and their letting go of some of that. We do need to let go of the person, but you know, I tell people constantly that it's not really letting go, forgetting. It's knowing that the relationship is no longer going to be like it was in the past. You still have a relationship with a person, but you don't have them physically anymore. But for people of faith and for people who are spiritual, you still are connected to them through your emotional side and your memories and spiritually, if that's what you believe in. And so you can still carry on a relationship. You just need to know that it's not going to be like it was in the past. And sometimes it's hard for people to let go of that that relationship as it was.
Wonderfully said. So this is probably the third or fourth time that we have mentioned religion or spirituality. How big of a role do you think religion plays in grief in regards to other types of issues we might deal with throughout our life?
Well, I think it really depends upon how spiritual the person is that has gone through the loss. They at least have some idea or have some beliefs on what happens to a person after they die. And for people of faith, the belief that they're being taken care of, that they're in heaven, that God is looking after them, that's a comfort. And sometimes people just understand that the spirit becomes one in the universe, and that may be comforting to them. And a lot of times it's especially comforting because when the person died, maybe they had been in pain for a long time. Maybe they had been dealing with an illness that they'd been struggling with for years, and to know that the person's not hurting anymore and that they're at rest. It can be comforting to the person. I think what really people need to settle that their person, their loved one, is in a good place after they die, and sometimes that's not always a possibility for them to imagine. But you try to help them to find whatever comfort and peace they can in how they see what happened.
Wonderful. So really, religion can play a huge part in this, I guess, in a lot of different ways. Do you find that clients that don't have a strong religious foundation or conviction have a more difficult time with grief because they don't know what's coming next?
They can. And if they don't believe in an afterlife and this sort of thing, then they don't have the hope that they're going to see the person again. So when the person dies for them, it is I'm never going to see them again forever, again is huge. It is a little easier, I will admit, when someone has a faith that they're going to see the person again. They at least hold on to that hope that they will see them again, that it isn't forever, that it's just a temporary thing. But still, people who don't believe in an afterlife can find some sort of calm and peace and sometimes even kind of a joy in the fact that their loved one has gone on, and they're not having to live in a world that is filled with troubles and all sorts of bad things going on. But you know, they know that that person doesn't have to struggle through life anymore.
Right. So, can you give us a couple tips or tools to that our listeners could apply if they are experiencing some grief if they've sure. lost a loved one? What's some just everyday things I could do if I'm kind of struggling a little bit?
Yeah, I think most of the people out there with grief that are really struggling are those that are really feeling their grief kind of suppressed by others, or they may even be suppressing their grief. It's not a pleasant thing to go through grief. In fact, many of the emotions are troubling. They're unpleasant. Many are painful. And so when we feel ourselves slipping into those, we try to hold it back and hold it off. And as counselors, we know that suppressing any sort of strong emotion like that can have some damaging effect on the person and on their relationships. Because if they hold on to those emotions for a long period of time, they're either going to explode and it'll come out in misdirected anger usually, or they'll implode. They'll basically just collapse emotionally, what we used to call, having a nervous breakdown. And it hurts the person, and it can hurt their relationships. The other thing I would say is that, just let yourself grieve. And on top of that, look for support from other people, because you are not meant to go through this by yourself. There are lots of people who are available as resources, your family, your church, your community members, your coworkers who are understanding. I always say, if you're going to grieve, be sure and grieve in places where you feel safe and with people you feel safe grieving. That you're going to be cared for and comforted. You don't want to do it in a environment or with people who are not understanding of grief. You want to hunt out those who are more understanding. And when you can determine what you need to get through your grief, don't be afraid to ask people for it. Because if you're not getting the help you need, it's probably because you haven't asked. And
Wonderful. I have one more question for you. Then I want to talk about your sure. book, and we're kind of running out of time. So
okay.
I don't want to pressure you, because we have a whole nother episode for you to be on. So we'll talk okay. about it in a minute. So this person, that's listening is hearing this advice and they're going to start applying this. How do they know, when I need professional help? How do I know that this grief is a little too much for me and I actually need to go talk to a professional? Because not everybody has to go talk to a professional counselor after somebody dies, right?
No.
How do I know if I'm at that place where I'm like, okay, maybe I do kind of need to explore some more professional help?
Well, I think you have to look at if it's overwhelming and it lasts for a good amount of time. And I hate to set a specific time on it, because everybody's grief is different. But if it is affecting how you are doing your everyday activities, if it's causing you to go into a chronic depression, if it's not allowing you to be with your family as you should be, or be present at the workplace and perform, then that's a good indication that you need help of some sort. And on top of that, sometimes people just feel stuck. And if you feel stuck in your grief, if you feel like you're not progressing through the grief, it's good to get with a professional who understands grief and loss, and they can determine if you really are stuck, or maybe it's you're not moving as fast as you think you should. And because grief is also something that you have to be patient with, especially yourself, because a lot of times we can put more pressure on ourselves than others can for us to hurry up and get over it.
Absolutely. Well, Larry, that is it for our time today. I thank you so much for coming on the episode and talking about the professional side of grief. If you're one of our listeners and you felt kind of moved by this, or you feel like you need to look for some help, We're definitely happy to provide resources for you on our website, taylorcounselinggroup.com. You can always email us info@taylorcounselinggroup.com, and you can give us a call, 214-530-0021. Of course, if you want to work with Larry out of our Galleria office, you're definitely welcome to do that, provided he has availability, because I know he fills up pretty quick. Larry, you also are the author of an amazing book on grief called Love Never Dies. Is that right? I didn't make that
That's
up.
Right. It's called Love Never Dies, Embracing Grief with Hope and Loss. And it's basically Wonderful. A compilation of insights that I've had and also insights that I've gathered from other grievers that I've worked with.
And so, Larry, you teased us a little bit in the beginning with your personal experience. And so we're actually going to talk more about that in the next episode. So whereas next week we would normally have a different person on the show who is maybe a community expert, we're going to talk about Larry's personal journey with grief, what occurred in his life that pushed him towards this path, and a little bit about the book as well. But if you can't make it to that podcast for whatever reason, Larry, where can they get the book today?
You can find the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and I think it's on christianbooks.com.
Wonderful. And we'll have links to those in our show notes as well. So if you're interested, we'll definitely have that for you. All right, Larry, thanks so much. I appreciate you coming on today.
Okay, thank you, Chris.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much, Larry Barber, for being on the show today. That was so powerful. Again, just like we said earlier in the show, if that interview brought up some feelings of grief for you, some sadness, depression, anxiety, anything, and you feel like it's too much, please call somebody for help. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to call a professional, but if you'd like to give us a call, you're welcome to 214-530-0021. But call the grief hotline that's in the show notes. Call your friend, call your mom, your dad, whoever. Just give somebody a call. We don't want you struggling alone. Also, links to Larry's book is in the show notes as well. So if you are experiencing grief or know somebody who is, please feel free to purchase his book through Amazon.com. I'm going to end the show a little different this time. Not a big deep thought. I think this entire episode has been a deep thought, so I'm not going to add too much there. But I am just going to say that grief impacts us all, big and small, old and young. Our grief can cripple us. It can make life very difficult at times. So if you have experienced grief and you know somebody who's grieving, please reach out and help. And if you're going through grief, don't worry, you're not alone. Everyone alive today, everyone who has ever lived, and everyone who will live, will experience death and loss in one way or another. So you are not alone. You are exactly where you're supposed to be. And that's it for self-examination. As always, I'm your host, Dr. Christopher Taylor. See you next time.